I'm going to give it over to my wife, and we're going to dig into this and just get ready. This is how it's going.
Peace is definitely a hot topic right now. It's kind of a taboo subject right now, almost at this moment. The biggest sayings that we've been hearing all over nationwide is no justice, no peace. And it is a topic that we have to hit on about the peace. And the biggest thing about peace is it's where you come from. And what we're going to be hitting on is where true peace comes from is the peace of God and how God reigns in your life. But I begin to think about Joshua and Caleb and how there have been many protests going on. And I believe everybody has a right to stand for what is right and what is justice and what is truth and what is right by what we see even in God's eyes of what is the truth of what's to be going on and taken. And these subjects aren't always easy to talk about as a church because a lot of people can have opinions and put things or try to put words in our mouths or different things like that. But I believe when we stand on the foundation of God, it doesn't really matter. Things can't be twisted. You can try to twist the word of God all that you want, but it doesn't change. It remains the same of what he says. And I believe God wants to speak to our hearts today, not only as a believer, as non-believers, as a city, as a nation. I believe he wants to speak what his peace truly is. And as I begin to think about Joshua and Caleb, I begin to think about the protesters. And he led me to the story in Jericho, where I believe Joshua and Caleb were protesting for what was theirs. They were standing for the truth and the righteousness of what God was going to give to them. And as they began to take a walk, they began to go out with their flags and their banners and their trumpets and their things that were who they were. And they began to walk around the walls of the city of Jericho. And all of this is found in Joshua chapter 6. And I'm going to read a few scriptures to you in just a minute. But what is so profound to me is they did it in such a peaceful manner because the peace of God rested so heavily on their hearts of who they were and whose they were, no matter what anybody said, that's where the true change began to take place in that. And change isn't always fun. It's painful. We've talked about it. It's not easy. Change is never something easy, especially when we desire to see change and we want to change somebody's opinion that may not want to change to go with what ours is. And so I want to read to you the scriptures in Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. It says, "You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, when all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest, and he said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant. Let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord.' And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. And the armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking around the ark. While the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua," this is the key right here, verse 10. "But Joshua commanded the people, 'You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout.'" And as I begin to read this story, and for those of you that know the story of Jericho and the walls of Jericho, you know, the walls came tumbling down on the 7th day. They went out, and as they begin to march and as they begin to go, they marched around 6 times. And on the 7th time, that's when they shouted. That's when they knew the timing of what the voice was to be heard of that God, that roar down deep from within them. It wasn't about what they had to say. It was about the truth of God being emanated through the land. It was about God and His promises being fulfilled. And as I begin to think about all the things that are going on in our nation, and what I believe is that true peace won't ever happen until we allow the peace of God to settle on our souls and in our lives so heavy that we are willing to walk quietly until He says it's time to be heard in the way of shouting. And I'm not talking about don't protest, don't do things. I'm talking about where we are willing to do things so peacefully because we know God has everything in control and has everything in His hands, so that when our words are spoken, they are heard for the truth of what they are, to cause walls and barriers to fall down. That's the truth. And as we go into this and we look at it, I think about change and how pain comes along with change. Our cities, our nations are in pain right now. Our people are in pain and agony because they desire to see change happen for injustices and things that have been done that are truly not right. And I believe more than anything, if we would really ask and stop and ask God how His heart feels, I believe His heart aches as a whole. Not just for those who have been burdened against, but those who are reacting from a burden and from a pain. And God's heart aches because He wants peace to reign over every heart and every life in this nation. And I believe that's why it's so important. And God began to speak to me, and He led me to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And it says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Go to the next verse for me, Christy, if we can. And if not, that's okay. I'm gonna turn to it real quick. Right here, it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." But the key part about it is you will keep in perfect peace. He whose mind is stayed upon you. He whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. We talked about trust last week, and trust is very key, but trust is just one part of change. The way that trust is activated and happens, and you know that you really trust in God, is when the peace of God can settle on you to know that what he said is actually going to take place, because what you are trusting in, you believe in. I can say I trust in you at all times, but I have to really believe that you're going to follow through with what you say to me. I have to have that belief that you are faithful to follow through. Same thing with God, is that belief is that peace in God. When you believe he's going to follow through with what he said he's going to do. And I begin to think about the word peace. The actual word peace, P-E-A-C-E, means absence of conflict, personal wholeness, personal wholeness, completeness, totality. But the word peace, P-I-E-C-E, is a part cut or torn or broken from something. More or less, the more or less definite portion or quantity of a whole. And as I begin to think about it, we are in pieces all over this world right now. We were fashioned after God. Every race, every color, every creed, every tribe, every tongue was fashioned after Jesus Christ. It says it in the beginning that he made us in his own image. Every single one of us, no matter what we come from, no matter where we are, no matter what walk of life, no matter what color, no matter what creed, we were all fashioned after Jesus Christ. And we are in a part from that whole, that totality of what Jesus desired us to be. We have been torn into pieces. And God began to speak to me, and he said, "Jen, the peace of God, the peace of who I am, can never truly reign in your lives and in the lives of people until every piece is put in my hands. Until every piece that was torn away from the covenant of me, that was torn from who I am, is put back into my hands where I am let to be in control. Not government, not man, not anybody else, not the rulers, nor principalities of darkness, but the principality and the kingdom of who I am. Until every piece, P-I-E-C-E, is put into my hands, the peace of God cannot fully reign." And he said, you know what, Jen, you guys spend too much time living your life in pieces instead of peace. You're so broken and torn on what to believe here and what we believe here and where we stand here and how I want to live here and who I'm going to follow after here and what media influence I'm going to let lead me here or what I'm going to do on social media or Snapchat or Instagram or how I'm going to act in my family. The piece of me that acts at home one way is different than the piece of me that acts at a job. And in reality, we're all broken and torn into so many pieces that we wonder why we don't have wholeness, which is the peace of God that reigns over our lives. And I believe why the walls of Jericho truly fell is because every piece of that army, every piece of that nation put itself into the whole totality of God, to the wholeness of his hand. And they placed their lives saying, God, no matter what these people on the other side of this wall believe, no matter what they think, no matter who they are, no matter the battle that we have coming up against us, God, we believe in you, we trust in you, and we know we're yours, and we know what you've promised. Not only, God, do we know that there's pain and change, but we also know that there's trust and change, and now we know that there's peace and change because we believe in your word. And as peace began to settle over them, they quietly began to walk around this city. Every child, everyone. And they walked around it once every day. And then on the seventh day, they walked around it six times in quietness. And I guarantee some of them were thinking, are we being heard? We're not even saying anything. These people probably think we're crazy. They probably think we're nuts. We're just walking, and they're probably mocking and laughing. And in their hearts, they had to let that, no matter when their mind began to reel from things that they saw, from things that people were saying, because they didn't have media back in, but I'm definitely sure that they had mockers and jeerers and people who were against them and blasphemy and all the things that were being shouted down from those walls because people had homes in the walls. And as they were walking around these walls, I know and guarantee that their hearts at moments would try to waver and be unsettled. And they wanted, some of them probably wanted to open their mouth and just yell things or do things or finally just say, we're going to take revenge now and we're going to go cut some heads. But what happened, I believe, in the wholeness of it is they so knew that God was the one that would fight for them, that God was the one that had fashioned them. And so if he fashioned them and created them and told them that this is where they were going to go, that he would make a way. And if they would just follow in the steps that he directed. And they kept going, and they kept going, tired and exhausted. And on that seventh time, all of a sudden, there was a shout that was heard. And there was a trumpet sound that was blasted. And there were swords that were raised. And there was this loud roar that came over. And when that happened, I believe because they chose not to walk in pieces that were segregated from each other, but they decided to walk in peace of wholeness together. What ended up happening was God, the shout of God roared over the shout of man, and it literally toppled the wall. It literally toppled the wall. And I am just telling you, we are fighting something very evil in this day. It is evil. It is something that started long, long ago. And it has still tried to bury itself and bury itself, and its head rises over time. But as it has risen, what happens is the only way you can fight evil is with the Spirit of God to be heard. And flesh can't be heard louder than the Spirit, because then it gets in agreement with the flesh of the world. And it wants to fight that way, and it looks that way, and then it gets labeled that way. And God doesn't desire for it to be labeled that way. He desires for peace to be labeled the Word of God, the Lamb of God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the one who comes in, El Shaddai, Yahweh, the one who can come in and fight for you. He's the Prince of Peace. That's why at the very beginning it said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called the Everlasting God, the Love, the Prince of Peace. He carries it all. I believe God wants to ask you a question today. How can God complete me or make me whole if he doesn't have all of me? How can he complete me and make me whole if he doesn't have all of me? How can he complete a world and a nation and make it whole if he doesn't have all of it? If peace represents wholeness and totality, we have to take all the pieces and put them back together where they were meant to be from the very beginning. It's peace. That's what's supposed to reign. And walls will never fall until we allow ourselves to be put into the hand of God and walk in perfect peace with who he is.
Love, you was talking about how he's the Prince of Peace. If Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and when salvation erupts in our soul, we ask him to come into our heart, then peace should rest in our heart, should overtake our soul. And if not, it's because our flesh tries to override our spirit. It's peace. What does the church need? Peace. What does my home need? Peace. What does my city need? Peace. What does this nation need? Peace. This world? Peace. And you know what's crazy is they've tried so many things to create peace. They've tried to connect all kinds of different governments and all kinds of different world leaders to create peace. I'm going to tell you real quick, in the back end of the Bible's Revelations, you should not be surprised with what's going on. The Word of God says it's only going to get worse. His peace needs to just be all that is within you. That is going to hold you to your core. Is things wrong? Absolutely. Is racism wrong? Absolutely. We shouldn't have it. Stand for it. It is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And let me just say something. Racism isn't new. It just didn't happen last week with the knee to a throat. It didn't happen the few weeks before when a kid was running and two guys shot him. It didn't happen just even back when Martin Luther, racism has been going on. Read your word. It's in the Word of God. This is not a new thing. It's wrong. And I tell you what, we as Remnant Church, we're going to fight against it. We're going to shine a light in the darkness, and we will stand with anybody and lift up the name of Jesus and say that racism, it's wrong. It's wrong. You know, I've been thinking about this whole thing of having peace. And the challenge we're having is, yes, I'm all about protesting and all about, you know, getting that out there and just kind of making it known. Now, again, the looting and all that other stuff, that just takes the focus off of what we need to focus on. It's ignorant. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen. But the reality is, look at all the protests before. Some things changed in the government. Some, not all. What happens at the end of the night? Everybody goes home. What happens when this season is done of protesting? People go home. The reality of change, it has to be the individual. People have a hard heart, and it needs to be changed. When the individual can own up and say, I have a problem with black people, then that's where change starts to happen. And it doesn't have to just be African-American, black. It could be Mexican, Indian. It does not matter. It could be white folks. It does not matter. But what it is in the end, it's the individual. When you yourself can say, I have a problem, you have to change. We're pointing at the finger of everybody that needs to change, but we individually have to change.
But the definition, if you look, let's go back, it's just simplicity. The definition of peace was absence of conflict and personal wholeness.
Yes.
personal.
That's
it has to start right here.
It has to, because we can hold many signs, we can have many rallies, we can create a lot of people to gather and do all kinds of stuff, but the reality, and it's good, it gets it known. I'm not saying it's bad, but if you really want change and you really want peace to happen, the individual has to make the changes. And it starts with all of us. We all have to take a deep look inside of our soul. And listen, I'm just going to say it like it is. We have to look deep inside. Do I have any prejudice against black people? Do my black friends have any prejudice against white people? Because it goes both ways. And the reality of the whole thing as a big picture is the individual has to die to the flesh. Because it won't change unless we individually start becoming the change. We want to protest the change, but why don't you become the change? And when we can gather as brothers and sisters and not look at all the different colors and different things, and we're looking at in the end that we're just human beings and Jesus is the hope for humanity and we all still bleeding red, that we can help each other and we can get through this. It's wrong. This whole thing's a mess. It is wrong. What happened was wrong. It was messed up. I'm going to read you a scripture, John 14:27. So here's what it says. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read it in the New King James first. Huh? Okay, let's do it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you. Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That was what we're going about to read right now. And you won't hear it twice, because this is what Josh has. Josh chapter. Anyway. I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear. Be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Listen, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world. We're wanting peace. No justice, no peace. And I get it. There needs to be justice for things. But I'm telling you, if we're looking at peace in the world standards, you're not going to have peace. That is not true peace.
Think about fragile. Think about the word fragile right there. That word means easily broken. It's something that can be broken very easily, that you have to handle with so carefully and almost literally walk around almost like eggshells on. And we wonder why all of our peace treaties and why different things that have happened governmentally or different things are so easily broken. It's because they are literally made upon a peace that is fragile, that can, we have to tiptoe around things. We can't bear the truth, because the truth isn't founded on the word of God.
Yeah.
It's founded on the word of men. And what has happened is we've gotten away from that a long time ago, when
yes,
we sat down and we signed out the constitutional rights of who we were as men, that were to be equally free and to be equal along one another. And what happened as we've come along and put our influences in, and now peace, we say that's peace. We have peace treaties and peace agreements, and we want peace through justice. But in the end, that's why after years upon years, we see things smooth over, and then they come back in and they rear their head, because it's broken just like that.
Well,
because it's fragile.
It's fragile. And what happens with fragile? Fragile puts you in a state of fear, not peace. And so we have a fragile peace that's of the world that puts us in a fear peace. I mean, think about it. Take your kids to some kind of antique shop. And what's that statement? Oh, they're like a bull in a china shop. You in fear, like, oh, don't touch something because you're going to knock it all over and then I'm going to have to pay for it. And we get in fear because we're thinking our kid's going to touch something. But that's the way we've operated peace in this world, in our country, in our city. It's all been fragile. Man, I'm telling you right now, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, it's a solid foundation. There's nothing fragile about it. It's solid. It stands on its own. It's so good. It's so good. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Trouble's going to be coming either way, but it's in the presence of God. I wrote this down. If you focus on where, when, and why life gets difficult, you'll keep losing sleep. Focus on who, and you'll find peace in the midst of all the where, when, and whys. And I've said this many times. We went into a peace project a couple years ago. And a lot of people use rest in peace for death. But I'm going to tell you, it was nothing ever for death. It was only to live by. And a statement I made, and I rewrote it down, is the only thing that needs to die is your flesh, so you can rest in peace while you live. That's why he says, peace I leave with you. My peace, he's the Prince of Peace. My peace I give you. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it or not. He just wants to give it to you. You have to do all kinds of crazy stuff for it. He just wants you to have it. Not as the world gives, not this fragile peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He knew before he was ascending to heaven that he wanted to give you this peace. And it passes all this crazy understanding that we think we have. That the peace of God will rest on your soul. Now we see it, and listen, we're not hiding under rocks or nothing. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there. Between the coronavirus and all the uproars that is happening at night around the country with protests and then looting and people dying. Not just what happened with the man who did die, who started this whole thing, but there's other people that have died during protests. Now, our hearts could get full of fear. And listen, I can't as a white man say I know how that feels because I'm not black. That I would have to be afraid that somebody would look at me different just because of this is going on as I'm out there in the street just going to the store. Or I have to be careful because if I move a certain way while I got pulled over, that I don't know if something might happen. That's the truth. The whole system's jacked up. And racism has to end. And it starts with you. It starts with you. He gave us peace. And so now all of us in different areas are like, well, I want peace, but what about this? Listen, I'm going to say it like this. God is so concerned with your soul. It's unreal. Let him fix all this in your soul, that this uproar that is happening. Let him calm you and let the peace of God just rest within you. And everything together with inside of you. Let the peace of God rest. He said it as he was leaving. And listen, as Joshua is getting ready to go over, and he runs into the angel of the Lord and asks him who he's for. And there's a moment, backtrack, let's rewind it a little bit. I know we've got a little history here. There's a moment when Moses is up on a mountain and he's having a conversation, and God told him, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. I mean, you're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, giving you instructions. And then now they cross over and they're getting ready and they're seeing Jericho. And Joshua runs into an angel. And they had this conversation. You've heard us talk about it. Are you not for you, not against you? But the last thing he says before the instructions of here's what we're going to do around Jericho. He says, take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground again. And what's crazy is if Christ lives in you and the peace of God dwells within you, wherever you step foot is holy ground, is peaceful ground, because peace dwells within you. You take peace with you where you go. You're standing on it. He dwells in you. Or if that's not true, then this isn't true. If he lives in you, then you should be full of peace. And you should walk in peace, and all of those things that God and all the attributes of him should be oozing out of you. the blessings of God, being peaceful, full of peace. So wherever you step foot, it's in a peaceful manner. I'm not living by fear. God, He's my Father. I walk by faith. Like that pastor said, my companions are mercy and grace, and I will follow Him all the days of my life. Peace. We use that so freely, like peace out. You know, like we say, you know, just, well, we need peace. We need this to be peaceful. We want a peaceful protest. We want peace in the land. We want, and listen, it just takes, like I've said, it's just the individual that has to, for themselves, make the change. You want to see change? Be the change. Quit trying to get petitions and all this. What are you doing to be change? And then let that continue to go. But I'm telling you right now, peace ain't going to happen unless Christ dwells and is in the center of all you do. You ain't going to have peace. I don't care how big of a sign you hold. I don't care all the cool stuff you say. You won't have peace unless Christ dwells in the center of your heart. Bottom line. Amen.
Steve. Go back to the Passion Translation version of that. I leave the gift of peace with you. That's what Christ said. I leave the gift of peace with you. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. So I like this version,
yeah,
because of the way it lays it out. Because what it really is saying, what Paul's really saying here, is that love embodies the wholeness of all the fruit. There, you can't have joy without love. You can't have peace without love. You can't have patience without love. You can't have kindness without love. You can't have virtue without love. You have to have it all wrapped up in love. And so I like what this says. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within us, within you, is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, but here's the one. Peace that subdues.
Subdues.
Watch this. Subdues means to conquer and bring into subjection, or to bring under cultivation. So what Paul's really saying here is you have to learn to cultivate the gift of peace within yourself. Because until you can learn to cultivate the gift of peace within yourself, you will never be able to cultivate peace around you with other people. And the way that we cultivate peace is by loving the way God loves. Not loving by the way the world says to love, but having a heart transplant where He literally takes your heart out and puts His in. That way, every beat that your heart beats is His heartbeat instead of your own. You beat for the lost. You beat for the races. You beat for whatever He burns for. And so when His heart is broken, your heart is broken. It's easier for me to go out and protest with you when my heart is beating like His heart. Because I'm telling you, in heaven, His heart is beating for you that are out there protesting to be heard. Because He sees your pain. He sees your brokenness. He sees how you hurt. But what He wants to do is He wants to conquer the pain in you so that that peace can be produced in you.
Well, it's crazy, Josh, in that where you're talking about this thing's wrapped up in love, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were really trying to trip Jesus up. And He's like, well, which of the Ten Commandments is better than the other? And then he just, I'm telling you, he twisted up and says, well, here, I'm going to sum it all up for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself.
And your neighbor is everybody.
Everybody.
You can't love somebody if you don't have peace about loving yourself. And if you don't love yourself like God loves you, how do you give out love to others that you don't even have stable inside you? It's very difficult. And I believe that the reason people have a hard time with others, whether it's culturally, I mean, I've seen people culturally with other races, other cultures, of whether it's Hispanics or whether it's Jewish or whatever it is, culturally give people and hate on people. But I think the only reason that is because we don't love who we are personally. So it's easier to pick out what we don't like about somebody else so that we ourselves can seem greater. And God never desired that. He never desired for us to look at people that way, because it's a whole lot easier to change someone else than it is to change yourself.
Well, what's crazy is when he makes that statement, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And it shook them, because the biggest issue that they were having in that moment, off and on, besides, you know, Rome was, you know, putting it on them, was, well, Jesus went to a well with some Samaritan, the Samaritan woman. And those Samaritans, they were, well, let's just be real about it. They were a mixed culture.
Yeah.
They weren't true blood. They weren't all Jewish. And so, like, today, for today's society, like, it would be like a black man and a white woman having some babies. Well, you were just outcasted. You didn't belong, and we didn't associate, to the point that we would have to walk all the way around your town and back through. Instead of just going through and getting to where I need to go, I'm going to make an extra 2-hour trip just so I don't step foot in your town. Racism. And he says, listen, love your neighbor as yourself, which shook them all, because our neighbors, like you guys said, is everybody around us. And so we've been dealing with this very same thing over and over. I can tell you right now, no matter where you live or where you view from, you can name a certain part of your town where you're like, I don't know if I'll be driving down that street, that avenue, on across of those tracks. And if that's the case, you have racism in your heart. That's the truth. That's the real deal. And I know that hurts, and I'll probably be the bad guy and hearing about it in a messenger. Just saying. But that is where it all stems from. The little things. You start, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be heading myself down in that part of town, on that side of the tracks. Listen, Jesus Christ is for anybody on one side or the other side of the track. First Avenue, Liberty, all the way down south. It does not matter. It doesn't, if it's the low key, high key, he's for everybody. And you know what? As a follower of Christ, I should be for everybody, no matter what. And so that loving thy neighbor, it shook them. It shut them up, because they're like, well, if you just pick one, then you're wrong. And he's like, look, I'm going to come all together. And here we go. Here's now the next step of love. Here's that. And then here's a package of fruit.
But you're talking about fruit, and I love it that you brought that into it, because simple analogy. Let's go back to, like, science 101, okay? If I have an apple seed and I plant it in the ground and I cultivate it and seed and water it and do all the things to grow something, what am I going to grow? An apple tree. If I take the seed of hate and I put it into the ground and I put it into the ground of others' hearts and cultivate that and wrap it up and water it, what am I going to produce in the hearts of others? Hate. But if I put peace in my heart, which is love, first of all, if I just have the love of God, which wraps it all together, because if we say we have love, then we have joy and we have peace. But if I plant that into the ground of my heart and into the ground of others, then what's it going to produce? Love, joy, peace, patience. And the list goes on.
Well, sometimes
it's simple science. It's simple fact of what it is.
That hatred has become taught and it, generation to generation. And somebody's got to cut that generational thing and say, look, let's show love.
I didn't give you this, Christy, but it's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. It says, little children, believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory, with word or with tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, in practice and sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. It's so powerful, because what we can do sometimes is we can give lip service and say, I love you, but we really don't mean it. And the reason we don't mean it is because the gift of love really isn't in us. And it's, you know, it's sad to say, but a lot of racism is in the church today. And the struggle with racism in the church is we are supposed to come together as all nations under one God, worshiping Him. And it's hard to worship with people that don't have love in them because they're sitting next to you and they're racist against you. That messes with me because it's not about a black church. It's not about a white church. It's not about an Asian church. It's about the church. The body of Christ as a whole, all of us coming together under one umbrella, and that umbrella is the love of the God that created us in His image, in His likeness. And so I just want to say to my black brothers and sisters out there, I hear you. I understand where you're at right now. I've been in them places before. I've watched my black brothers and sisters go through the struggles where I grew up. Half of my family is even black. I don't know the fullness of what you struggle with, but I hear you, and I want to be a part of the solution with you, and I want to give peace to you. But the only way that I know how to give you peace is through the fruit of God's Spirit. Paul said that I become all things to all men that I might save some. What he was really saying was this, is the way that I can help you be safe and the way that I can help you give peace is by giving you the fruit of what God has put in me, and that is the love of the Father. I love you regardless of your skin color, and I stand next to you regardless of what race you're from. That is where the church needs to be. We need to stop saying, all lives matter, and understand that black lives do matter. And it's hard to have peace when you don't feel like you do matter. I'm here to tell you, we're here to tell you, as the church, that you really do matter to us. And we stand next to you, and we'll rise with you, and we'll fight with you. But we're not going to fight in the way you think we're going to fight. We're not going to fight with guns. We're not going to fight with fists. We're going to fight in the Spirit, because this war is a demonic war that the enemy is trying to bring against you and bring against us and trying to cause division. The thing that I know about love is love conquers everything. Love doesn't bring division. It brings unity. And God wants to bring unity back to the world through the body of Christ. And I'm just going to say this prophetically to the church as a whole. It's not time for you to be silent. It's time for you to rise up and become a part of the solution rather than the problem. See, sometimes our silence can become compromise. Our silence becomes the very compromise. Actually, when we stay silent, we become a part of the problem because we're not rising up and standing next to our brothers and sisters and fighting. I love you. God loves you. I got to read this.
Well, that's what happened in Jericho.
Yeah.
He said the only silence that was a good thing is they were still active in doing. And he said, I'm going to tell you when to speak.
And then they shouted with the one voice, because it was on the same page with the voice of God, which was love, which was the love that held them and tied them together and that tied that vine. And that's what is crazy. If you're going to be silent, you better be silent because God's told you and you're walking out in action what He's told you to do. But when it's time to speak, you better speak because God's told you it's time to speak. And you better do it in unity and in the right time, because otherwise you will not see a change and you'll be defeated by your enemies.
But I feel like we are in a seventh step.
Yeah.
And God is shouting out to the church, shout. It's time to shout out to abolish racism. It's time to shout out to abolish all kinds of things in the world right now that's going on that is demonically driven to try to bring division. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8 in the Passion Translation. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Keep going. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Keep going. One more. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten, I love this right here, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. The peace of God that transcends everything we could possibly know. A peace that even when all hell is breaking loose around you, you sit in this perfect peace and you're not moved by what's going on. You're not worried about what's going on. It's not about not standing up. It's just knowing that you have peace, that everything's going to be taken care of. And I'm not letting my mind run with what the media is trying to bring out, the false things, but my mind runs with the authentic and real things of the kingdom. It runs with the beautiful things and the respectful things and the pure and holy things. And then it runs with mercy and kindness. It runs with the things of the kingdom rather than the things of the world. That's how we're going to make a change. Not by operating in our flesh and operating out of hate, but operating out of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. We even have to operate in self-control in this time. We have to. We have to control ourselves and know that our God is bigger than any racism thing. Our God is bigger than any struggle that we could be going through right now. We just have to trust Him. See, the thing I know about peace is it brings trust. When I can sit in peace in the presence of God, then it allows my faith to rise and my trust in Him to become even greater. It does confirm it. It lets me know I'm okay.
I had the same scripture that you did in Philippians, and it's crazy because I was looking down at my Bible and in my footnote, and I want to read what it says. The peace of God and guard your hearts. This is from 4:7, because 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And it says this, it says, God's peace is the opposite of human anxiety. It comes when we call on God from hearts that are fully devoted to Christ and His Word. By committing our cares to God, we can determine not to worry about them because they are now His concern. This peace is an inner sense of calm and assurance delivered from Christ by the Holy Spirit within us. It is not based on emotions or circumstances, but on the solid foundation of our relationship with God. It involves firm confidence that Jesus is near and that God's love will be active in our lives for our good. When we commit our troubles and concerns to God in prayer, His peace will stand guard at the door of our hearts and minds, preventing the cares, worries, and heartaches of life from troubling our lives and robbing us of our hope in Christ. If fear and anxiety return, we can go to God in prayer with a thankful heart, and once again, He will send His peace to guard our hearts. I love this part right here. Under God's protective custody, we will again feel safe and be able to rejoice in the Lord. Under His protective custody, under what He has for us, under where we are supposed to be right in His presence. That He didn't say that anxieties and worries and things won't come. It says to cast those things onto the Lord. To literally, immediately, when you cast something, it means to literally like throw it off, to hurriedly, quickly, pass it along, to give it away. When you cast your cares, your worries, your anxieties upon God, when you do that, what happens is that's when peace can become settle your mind, because I think what's happened is we are so concerned with taking care of everything ourselves that we don't allow God the control to do it because we don't believe He's sovereign enough to do so. And that's where peace confirms trust, because if I trust in God, then I should have peace that it's going to be what it is, no matter what comes my way. It's not in pieces. Quit living your life in pieces. Living in pieces is living in anxiety. Living in pieces is living in worry. It's living in fear. It's living in brokenness. It's living in distrust. It's living in hate. It's living in racism. It's living in lawlessness. It's living in all those things that have nothing to do with who God is. And when you live in all those pieces, you are going to continually live a life that is torn and broken and just beat down by the world. But when you take the pieces of your life, God is the only one. He is the master creator, just like that lump of clay that he created you out of from the very beginning, all the dust that he put into motion of a human being. He is the only one that can take all those pieces and put them together again and make them whole. And that's what God wants to do. You want true peace of God, you better give the pieces of your life to him so that you can bear fruit, so that you can live in love. If he doesn't have your heart, it says that if we say we love God but hate our brother, we are a liar. I don't want to be a liar. I do not want to be a liar. That is the word of God, people. So if you are walking around with hatred in your heart against your brother, whether it's of culture, whether it's of race, whether it's of who they are or what they wear or how they dress or what they have, then you are a liar. You do not love the way that you truly say you do, and you truly can't love God. I will tell you something I tell my children when they argue and they begin to talk negative about one of their brothers or sisters. I say, don't you talk about my child like that, because I love them just as much as I love you. And guess what? That's my child that you're talking about. So let me tell you something. Just because you're my baby doesn't mean they're not my baby anymore, and I love them just as much. So don't you dare say that you love me if you can't love your brother or your sister. Don't you tell me that as a mama, because I bore that child just as much as I bore you. If you love me, you love them. And that's just like God. If you love God, then you love your neighbor, no matter where they come from, no matter what they look like, no matter where they are, you love them. Don't be a liar today.
I think, I love that. I think that's the absolute truth. You are a liar if you don't love your brother and sister. You're an absolute liar, for God is love. If you say you serve God, then he's love, then you have to be love. God never called us to be hate. He called us to be love, and that's what drives the enemy nuts, is that when we truly become love, then we begin to conquer everything around us, because it just drives it out completely. And I was thinking about this when you were talking. I was thinking about the word cultivate. When you cultivate something, like we just put a little garden in this year. We've never done it before. We never knew anything about it. But I got to cultivate that garden. I got to make sure that no weeds get in there. So in my own life, I have to live a thing that I like to call repentance. That's what cultivates me. It cultivates my heart. It makes sure that nothing is in there that could be a weed that could cause something to come over me that would cause me to sin against my God or sin against my brother. And so, yeah. So I was thinking about cultivating and how one of the greatest things that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do in our lives is cultivate us through conviction. To make sure that there's not something in our heart seated somewhere, whether it's hate against somebody, whether it's racism, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's this or whether it's that, but that little weed that's trying to hide itself inside of there, yeah. You know, you can let a garden go, and what them weeds are going to do is them weeds are going to come up and suffocate what the fruit or the stuff you're trying to produce. And if we're not careful, we can allow those little weeds stay deep in our heart, and all of a sudden them little weeds ain't little no more. They begin to grow and they begin to suffocate what God is trying to do in your life. And if you're not careful, it'll begin to choke you out and you won't produce anything anymore. The fruit or the things that you're producing will end up rotting on the vine, and they'll just fall completely to the ground, and they'll be nothing to nobody because nobody can eat of them, because all they'll do is poison them, and then what you become is poison to everybody around you. When the second you allow conviction to cease in your life is the second you stop the Holy Spirit from cultivating you to become who you were meant to be.
That's good.
And then you stop being love.
Yeah.
And you start being hate.
Yeah, this doesn't even just apply to racism. You know how many people hate people in their family that dislike certain people in their own family? And it literally just stands against everything who God is. And when you get to that place of feeling that way, when those weeds start to come, you know it. You know it for a fact. Because you know when your attitude starts changing. But if you don't take care of it in that moment, it's going to grow even more. And then after a while, you become something else. So we have this big tree in our yard that has those helicopters from hell. And they just spin around and fall on the ground. And we plant a garden on the side of our house. If I wouldn't take care of those, at one time, and I thought I got them all, but I didn't. And I had trees growing over there because they die, you know, seeds die, and they start sprouting up. Well, those are a bunch of trees. I'm not saying that trees are bad. It's just they don't need to be planted there. They need to be planted where they need to be planted. You know what I mean? Not in this place. This is where my garden goes. And if I don't protect it, it will overgrow, not even with just weeds, just flowers. Flowers can overtake your garden with tomatoes. And so you got to just be careful what you plant because you have to guard that.
Well, check this out. I was just thinking about this where you were saying that. When we allow weeds to stay there, then the weeds' roots go deeper and they begin to choke out our roots.
Yeah.
So that they can get the nourishment, and in turn, we end up dying, or the plants around it end up dying. So when we allow the weeds to come in and take our nourishment from us, then we begin to die out, and that's when racism and hate and anger and bitterness and all that begin to grow.
That's the stuff, Josh, that for generations, no matter if it's black or white or whatever the case is, they've let those weeds stay because they wanted to keep it growing and pass it on to the next generation that black people are bad or white folks are bad or whatever, instead of saying, no, that's wrong.
And they've
let it all continue. I saw a guy on Facebook. He was 30-something years old. He was talking to a 16-year-old, and there was a 40, almost 50-year-old, and he was saying, listen, this is keeps going on and on through our generation, and we keep on, when's enough's enough? When are we going to stop this? When are we going to make the changes different? Because he was just making a point that like those weeds, we just continue to tell the same story over and over, and the hatred keeps growing, that this 16-year-old, when he has kids, it's going to be the same thing. He'll end up being 16 or 32 or 58, standing in the same place doing the same thing.
Because they never get to the root of it. And they never uproot what is causing the problem.
But I think we should be ashamed of ourselves if all we want to pass down to the next generation is a weed.
That's the truth. Absolutely. That is absolute.
What does that say of who you are? Yeah, that all you want to pass down to your next generations are weeds.
Yeah.
Instead of good fruit-bearing trees or plants or vegetation that actually produces something that can grow and enrich a life.
Well, the reality is, you know, we look at where we've had bad cops or bad situations. Not all cops are bad.
No.
Or not all people. But here's the reality is there's bad people out there. That's
everywhere.
All through the Word of God, there's just bad people. Cain slew Abel. There's just, you know, it starts somewhere. And that was
They
were brothers. And exactly. And so it just, there's bad people. You can't help it. But you got to figure out, how do I continue to love like Christ would love and move forward in this? One of the big mottos at our church is love all, serve all. Love all, serve all. It was a little longer. Loving God, loving people, serving God, serving people. We just put love all, serve all. And it's about everybody, anybody, the human race. It's all of us. And I'm telling you right now, if you've ever pulled up in front of this church and got a meal, it didn't matter what color you were, what color your car was, or what color your shoes were, you was getting some food. It didn't matter. It still doesn't matter. And a smile, a hug, whatever's appropriate. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is in this, when this is all said and done, there's pain of change. Let's just be real about it. You know, we can get comfortable not going to church anymore. Let's just talk about that. We can get real comfortable not. We got so used to it, and a lot of people can be like, well, I can just stay home and do this online and do that. Don't forsake the gathering of the church, the brethren, as we come together and lock in unity in that. We can get comfortable. So there's pain and change of recalculating ourselves. Oh, I got to get up and get ready for church and blah, blah, blah. And it's not that I have to. I get to do this. I get to go to the house of God. I get to do this. You know what I mean? Because in the end, when Jesus, he got to carry the cross and went up onto that skull hill and died on the cross, he did that for us, for you, for me. He did that. He didn't have to, because he could have done like that, or he could have made one statement and a legion of angels would have came and destroyed everything. But if that was the case, then we wouldn't be doing this right now. And so he changed it all. Peace, man, it's everything we need and want. And it has to start here. And one thing that keeps ringing through my head, and especially like what happened just last week and the tragedy of that, of what started all this protest. You want to, you know, one thing you can do in those areas to, is one, let Christ dwell in your heart. Let him change that, because there's a lot of hardness and stuff that we can have. And we can go and say all kinds of different things. But let him, and then control your tongue. Control what you say and all that kind of stuff. You can't not necessarily control what you see sometimes, because you just drive by it or whatever the case is. But control those things. And the reality is if you see, this is where it starts. I mean, let's just be real about it. If you see somebody doing, it don't matter what color skin or what, it could be in whatever background, nationality. If you see racism from the smallest point, call it out to them. If they're saying some stuff about white folks, or if they're saying some stuff about black folks, call it out. Say, no, that's not right. Stop that. This is what gets us into trouble. If you start calling that stuff out, you're going to see change happen, because people are going to be aware of it. Sometimes you're not going to be the likable person, but I'm telling you right now, people will start respecting you, because if you start standing, people will start noticing that. Call that stuff out. That's where it starts. I'm going to read you this, and we're going to get we're going to close. If you can't breathe, I can't breathe. If you can't run, I can't run. If you can't be, I can't be. If you can't live, I can't live. If you're not free, I'm not free. This much is on me. Until all black lives matter, may mine matter all the less. Something's got to change. And our prayer for you today is that the peace of God will overwhelm you. Share this. Create other watch parties. Share this with your friends and family. We're just having a conversation about peace and how things are wrong, and we got to start here. We got to. We can't. We keep pointing at. That's that old saying, you point one finger and you got three pointing back at you. It's the truth, though. It is the absolute truth. Look in the mirror first. Call that stuff out. Let's start squashing that slowly, so it don't escalate to this other stuff that we got. If there's somebody doing something wrong, step up and stop it. Somebody should have stopped that before that knee was in that neck that long. It should have been stopped. Somebody's got to step up. And in our own lives, let's start, when those weeds start to kind of creep up in us and we start just acting out and saying stuff, we got to stop and hope to God somebody will be like, hey, that's not you. That's not how you usually are. And they start pulling the weeds off of you, and you're mad a little bit, but hold on. You look in the mirror, and they're probably right. That's the end result there. And then you're like, God, forgive me. God, I want peace to overflow my life, because I want to love like you love. And so we're going to continue to love everybody and everybody. Till Christ comes, it's just our life. That's just who we are. It's who our church is. It's who we are individually. We're going to sing. We love you. And I pray your home is full of peace. No matter what goes on, that our city is full of peace. That your neighbors, everybody around you, that is so, you walk, your steps are peaceful because Christ lives in you. Amen.